Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Brian.
Ronna, did I wake up feeling great today?
Well, you woke. Well, I'd love to know, actually, if you don't mind telling me.
I had my Ask Ronna Shades of Vanilla coffee. Okay.
We've been working, percolating, shall I say. Isn't that funny? Because
so
coffee percolates.
It's so funny.
We have been percolating in the Ask Ronna lab for quite some time now. This is a project that has been months in the making, and the people on Patreon have heard about it. If you want your exclusives, you got to go there.
It had to be perfect, Ronna.
And now we can finally share it with our friends on the free feed.
Get ready to have a more luxurious morning, even if you're on the go.
Have you ever dreamt of starting your morning like Brian and I?
Really more like you. Ronna, I have dreams. The reason I drink Shades of Vanilla, I have dreams of starting my morning like you. And this morning was wonderful.
We have introduced a very own proprietary blend.
Correct.
We have two coffees. They're debuting now at AskRonnaCoffee.com, pardon me.
AskRonnaCoffee.com, pardon me.
The Carriage House blend, which
fabulous.
Is just a gorgeous light roast. You could drink it every day. And I want to tell you right now, we've been working on this for months because you and I wouldn't just drink anything.
No way.
And then it's companion coffee. Now don't, the second I say it, you're going to judge it, but you're wrong. Shades of Vanilla.
And I'll tell you why.
Explain this to people.
I'm going to tell you why you're going to judge it, because you're going to think it's like a NutraSweet, dumb vanilla flavor that's fake and whatever.
Yeah, because that's what you think of me. Because that's the coffee I would put out, pardon me. Does that sound like Ronna?
It certainly doesn't sound like Ronna. That's why this is like a Madagascar vanilla with a beautiful nutty flavor too. It is a perfect coffee and the shining example of what a vanilla coffee should be. So take a tip, coffee mate.
I couldn't agree more. And I've been telling people I would keep a bag around just to smell it. That is how good this smells. So we have coffee memberships where if people want to buy a bag and have it delivered to their house every month, they can do that.
So wonderful.
Or they can just try a bag of this or try a bag of that and see how they feel. But we worked so hard to make sure this was a perfect drinkable everyday coffee.
Correct.
So even though it might feel like a trait, it's absolutely something you should indulge in every day.
Completely. I have been.
So go check it out. You'll be hearing a lot more about us and our coffee. AskRonnaCoffee.com.
Ronna, this enterprise is incredible.
I think it's just what we need right now.
Me too.
Brian.
Hi, Ronna.
I have to tell you.
Okay.
I started this day in a mood.
You know, honestly, I did too.
Oh, now you're in a mood too?
No, I'm not now. But with like the first 2 hours of my morning, I was like, ugh.
I started this day in such a mood, a bad mood.
Sure.
Sometimes you're in a bad mood.
Those are awful.
I know people must think Ronna is so sunny all the time. Because really, sunny is a word that I would use to describe my disposition. People always say, you know Ronna Glickman, she has such a sunny disposition.
Yeah.
That's you. Yeah. I feel like that's the first word people use when they think of me.
Yeah. it's probably a word on the second week or something. I don't know.
Okay, I'm not sunny. That's fine. But I'm not usually in a bad mood.
I've actually never seen you in a bad mood.
I was in such
a
mood.
So this is actually a big deal because I've truly never seen you in a bad mood.
Really?
I don't think so. I've seen you get irritated by things and all that, but like I've never seen you in a bad mood.
Well, I was in a mood. And you would think, Ronna, what do you have to be in a mood about?
You've got it all.
Today's the day. Your coffee launches with Brian.
And did I launch it right?
I mean,
I did a Shades of Vanilla roast this morning, Rana.
Did you? You really are loving this coffee.
And I put a little bit of cream in it. And I even, well, oh, this is no news. I put in my Vital Proteins, the collagen powder.
Yeah, yeah, which I've started doing because of you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I had a perfectly wonderful, active, nutritious, skin purifying cup of coffee this morning.
And that turned your day around?
I think it did, actually, yeah. But the first hour of waking up, I was like, I want to hit the back of this bus. You know what I mean?
Oh. I actually do know what you mean, because one of the things that happened to me today is I got stuck behind the garbage truck.
Which sounds like nothing.
It sounds like nothing. But if you're already in a mood and you get stuck behind the garbage truck, the whole day falls apart after that.
It sounds like nothing if you're on a 6-lane road. Then it sounds like nothing. Do you know what I mean?
The whole day just kept cascading on top of itself. Okay? Mm-hmm. And you would say, and I should have been driving around saying, toot, toot, the coffee's out. Rolling down the window, no mask, screaming at people. Our coffee's out. AskRanaCoffee.com.
Sure.
Brian worked very hard at this. I'd like your attention, please. That's what I should have been doing.
Yeah.
But instead, I just could not get out of my own way, and I had no flow. My flow
Rana,
was
I've been
ruined.
Answering all my phone calls this morning, AskRanaCoffee.com. And then when they ask for me, I say, this is Brian of AskRanaCoffee.com. And then I get my business done.
So the coffee is up. We're very excited. We want people to try it. We want people to take pictures of themselves drinking it. We want them to send us the pictures. We want them to tag us in the pictures. We want all of those things. We'll come up
with an American Beauty, but fill the tub with coffee beans.
Wait, I love that.
Yeah.
Make a body scrub out of it. Do whatever you want.
Yeah.
We need a coffee hashtag. I forgot to come up with a coffee hashtag.
Oh, something, God,
Rana. Something good. I don't know. But anyway, tag us in your pictures. Send us your thing. I mean, we really, truly, really want to know what you think of this coffee, because we are not, I mean, we sound like a couple of QVC hosts, but we are loving this coffee.
It's true.
But as fabulous as my day starts when I start with that coffee, I still was having a lousy day.
What was going on? The garbage truck?
Just a mood. It was just in the air.
Yeah.
It was like a tidal shift, you know?
I do know. Yeah.
A pull of some kind. From
Rana.
From who knows where.
You're like psychic.
And then on my doorstep.
Oh my God.
From the most unlikely source, arrived a slice of the most perfect banana bread.
Yeah.
You didn't tell me the lobsterman was making banana bread, which I'm probably gonna collapse of COVID by the end of the day that I touched this. The fact that I touched this should tell everyone what kind of mood I was in, because I was really I was willing to try anything.
Rana, the lobsterman has been really into baking. As you know, he's living with his mother. He lost the boat, which is very unfortunate, which wasn't his to begin with, but I guess he trashed it. So it's not funny, Rana. It's actually very serious.
He's living with his mother. In Winthrop or in Marblehead? Is she in Marblehead or is she in Winthrop?
No, Winthrop.
Yeah.
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 Which sounds nice. I've never been, but
well, you know, it's easy because there's some clam beds right there, and I know he likes to go clam digging on the weekend.
There are one of the highlights of the whole thing. He told me, so I can't wait to go clamming with him. But his mother has a
full-size.
You're
not a clam.
Oh, I'm not.
No, I don't think so.
I don't either. No. Don't you just like throw bread out and the clams come around?
His mother has a full-size bed that they share. Is that what you're going to say?
No, Rana. She has two full-size beds in two different bedrooms, but also she has a full-size kitchen. So she doesn't have
he
had a miniature oven. And so she has like a full-size oven.
I see.
And
a full-size kitchen. Yeah.
So that was exciting. So they have an oven.
Because on the boat, on the houseboat, he wouldn't have a full-size kitchen.
No. It was like,
well,
basically,
it does make sense. He likes to work with his hands as a fisherman.
Yes.
And since he's not fishing, I had a distant relation once who liked to work with his hands. And so he would make Irish soda bread. That was another thing he liked to do, was make soda bread.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Well, so he has been making banana bread and it's sort of dietetic. He puts the...
What's in this banana bread? Well, I have to tell you, it's one of the best pieces of banana bread I've ever had.
That is great.
He also refrigerated it, I think, because it was cold. I don't know why, but it was cold, which made it even more delicious.
Because he read somewhere that if you refrigerate it, it actually makes it a little better.
And is that right? And
that's what he did. Right out of the oven.
I've never wanted a walnut in my banana bread. I think they're irritating and in the way. And I tell you something, I don't know if he toasted these walnuts before he put them in. They were fantastic.
Well, Rana, I have to tell you, so he does a thing. The kind of butter he uses is, I don't know the name of it, but it's like a girl who she's a blue bonnet on or something. She's a bonnet on her head. And,
okay.
I think
she's wearing a bonnet.
Yeah. And you can keep, it's the kind of butter that you can refrigerate or not. Do you know what I mean?
That's all butter.
Oh, okay. Well, this is the kind that, it's butter. Like looks white.
Okay.
So it was like,
with a blue bonnet on. I wonder what that was.
I can't remember. It's the same people who do like country crock.
Oh no.
So it was like that. And it was that the same kind of thing. But it's,
so it's not real butter or it is real butter?
No, it's diet. So it's better than real butter. So it's not real butter.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't believe it's not butter.
So it's margarine. And then.
Is it margarine?
Yeah. Yeah. It's margarine.
No. You're just saying this now. I know. I'm just trying to get a rise. I wouldn't like anything with margarine.
It's true. It has.
Unless I was an Orthodox Jew and I had to cook with margarine all the time.
Listen, it's all natural. He's really proud of it. And he.
What
listen,
did he use for sugar? What's his sweetener?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I'll have to find out.
Maybe just the banana. Well, no, not just the never just the bananas. Anyway, you but can tell him Rana G enjoyed his banana bread.
I will. And I think he'll feel.
I mean, it was truly. And he really turned. I can't even believe he is the source of something that turned my day around.
Yeah.
But he really did.
Well, good. Well, Rana also like.
Isn't that a lesson for me?
It is. And
a little bit of sunshine can come from the most unsuspecting places.
And it helps him out a little bit too, because it gives him a lot of pride when someone buys a loaf of banana bread.
Was I supposed to pay him for the banana bread?
Well, it was like an entire loaf, Rana.
Well, so, what do I owe
him?
Let me guess what I owe him.
I told him wholesale. I told him wholesale.
Let me guess. Please. Do I owe him? Now, let's see. The beefsteak tomatoes were $72, including damages waiting time and whatever, having your prescription refilled after your anxiety went through the roof at Trader Joe's.
If we're talking all in and comprehensive, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to assume the banana bread clocks in at around $71.50. Is that
right? The bananas were organic, Rana. They really were, and that's not cheap. And so I didn't know. I told him to give you the wholesale price.
I want to know how brown those bananas were. How brown were they?
Oh, I think they were black. I can't remember.
I wonder how long he wakes. I wanted to know how long he waits.
Very, very dark. I think he got most of the flies out of the peel because, you know, they do that thing. But
what are you talking about?
You're asking too many questions.
What do you mean flies out of the peel?
Have you ever heard of a fruit fly?
Of course, but what do you mean by flies out of the peel?
Well, I don't know. He peeled
one. Not everybody has fruit flies, Brian.
Are you sure?
Positive.
No, I'm pretty sure that anyone who keeps fruit in their house has
them. I'm positive, because that was another thing that was driving me crazy, is that I took out a light summer sweater this morning. That was really another thing that set me off. And you know I like to do my sweaters. I do them during award season.
Well, you usually do them during the Emmys, so I'm surprised you're doing them right now.
I'm taking them out for the summer. During the Emmys, I put my summer sweaters away.
Got it.
Right?
Yes.
Obviously, because the Emmys are in September. I'll usually keep one or two on the shelf in case it's an Indian summer.
Right.
In any event, one of my favorite Cuccinelli sweaters, cream-colored Cuccinelli sweater, had just a teeny tiny little hole in it. And I thought, no, not me. Can't be, because if you've got one fly, if you've got one moth, that means there could be moths and everything.
Sure.
So that means I'm going to have to redo my entire closet. I'm going to have Yadvina comb through. And I was going to have her do the windows this week. So that really put me, off schedule now.
As if your plate wasn't full enough. I mean, that really is stressful.
I saw a funny tweet today. It said, due to the fact that our stores have been closed. Due to the fact that our stores have been closed, our sweaters are going to be $250,000 each. That was from Brunello Cucinelli. That was a joke tweet somebody
put out. That's cute. Yeah, because they're so expensive. Yeah.
Ronnie, Supreme Court this week?
A 1-2 punch?
It's unusual that we were doing such a topical show on the free feed. But
it is. Because it goes right over their heads, Ronna.
Yeah, well, they don't, not like they're reading newspapers. We have to save that for the Patriots. Oh, you got a real kick out of that, huh?
I did. The idea
that they're not informed on the Patriots.
There's such a marked difference between one is like Nickelodeon and one is like NewsHour. One is like PBS.
I still can't figure out what's free feed behavior and what's Patreon behavior, because then on Patreon, we talk about things that are 10 times dirtier than what we talk about on free feed.
The lines are getting a little bit blurred, but Ronna, I will say this. You are much more relaxed in Patreon. I mean, you've really let it all go.
Is that right?
I think you just feel a little bit more cozy and you rise to my level. Do you know what I mean?
Well, today I really let it all hang out. I told everybody all about what a bad day I was having.
That really is
for me
awful,
was
Ronna.
A real revelation. Real
I'm rooting
revelation.
For you. I'm rooting for you.
Are you rooting for me?
Of course, always.
Okay, listen.
I'm your biggest fan. I've no doubt.
You might be my only fan. For all we know, you're my only fan.
Well, you want me to prove you wrong?
I just noticed I wasn't even sitting up straight. That is what a bad day I was having. My God. Anyway,
please tell the lobsterman
thank you. Please tell him, still not interested in meeting him face to face.
I was going to say, would you like to meet his mother too? I can invite them both.
No, I'm not interested in a socially distant anything. I like the social distance we're at. But I do have to give credit where credit is due. And that was a gorgeous banana bread. And he really turned my whole day around.
She said if she could meet you that she would even go buy a box of Clairol and dye her hair. That's what she told me.
Well, she should do that anyway.
Okay, I'll tell her.
I mean, really, these people in quarantine are just letting it all go. Well,
it's true. They should know better on this show.
Well,
Ronna, would you like me to say a couple of things to show you how many fans you have and how much people love us?
Yeah, let's do a few comments, and then we have a really cute guest today.
Oh my God,
to get to.
Hilarious.
He's so cute. Are you friends with him? Do you know him?
I know him, but I don't think he knows me. And I would like to be friends with him.
Oh, well, we'll find out.
So how about that?
You know, he may just be cute. He may not be fun to have as a friend. Some people will like that.
You're right. We're
going to find out. We're going to find it all out.
We sure are, Ronna. We're going to leave no stone unturned.
Okay, let's get to our reviews.
Well, our fabulous.
Please, we have to remind people, though. I know we sound like QVC hosts, but we are so excited, and we really have worked so hard on this, and we've been building it and building it and building it for months. AskRonnaCoffee.com.
Coffee snobs and coffee novices agree that this is one hell of a cup of coffee.
And the people on the Patreon already know this, but my other lawyer at the same firm wrote to me. I sent a few bags to people.
Still
got to
get that number.
You know, who I thought really knew coffee.
Yeah.
And he wrote to me, and of course, as a courtesy, he took it. He doesn't want to lose my business.
Sure.
So he said, oh, thank you for the coffee. I didn't even know if he would even try it.
Right.
First he wrote to me, said it was really good. Then he wrote to me. Couple days later, said, on the third day, I can assure you that this coffee is top notch. And I am pausing my usual monthly order from Intelligentsia Coffee.
Fancy.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
And I'm switching right over to this the minute they hit go on that website. So I think he might have been our first customer.
Now that's exciting because that's like a real high bar.
Yeah. That's all real right there.
It sure is.
And also, we'll tell them afterwards, but they've got to rate and subscribe. And
listen,
review.
It's 5 stars. It's the easiest thing you'll ever do. And it's the least you can do. And listen to some of these beautiful reviews we got.
Yeah,
we got a second review from lauded director Lucia Agnello.
Did we really?
We did. Who's directed all those Babysitter's Club on Netflix. She's simply the best. We got a second review from her. 5 stars. Excuse me. There is no better, and I never know how to say this, salve or sauve or S-A-L-V-E.
Salve.
Salve. There's no better salve for this crumbling democracy we're living in than Ask Rana with Rana and Brian. Every episode is as luxurious as being snuggled in a Loro Piana cashmere wrap. Kiss, kiss.
Wow.
Is she
now, wait
great?
A minute. Not only is she terrific, not only does she have incredible taste, Padme.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, go look at her IMDb if you're wondering what she's up to. Padme, Broad City.
No
Excuse
kidding.
Me.
Yeah.
Excuse me. She's, among a thousand other things.
She's a hot, hip director, Rana.
She's busy, Brian.
Busy.
Constantly working.
Constantly working.
Constantly project to project, employed like crazy. And she has time to leave not one but two
great
five-star reviews with a paragraph attached.
Great point.
What are you doing, I ask our listeners.
Well, I'll tell you who is doing something.
Yeah.
Maud Pudge.
Let's hear
Who writes... Restoring my faith in straight white me. Let's face it, if remote and recent American history, that's what he says. Let's face it, if remote and recent American history has taught us anything, it's that most straight white males are trash. However, this delightful podcast with thoughtful and compassionate guests, including Mike Schur and Misha Collins, is restoring my faith and proving that some straight white men can be total mensches. Thanks, Rana and Brian, for the perhaps unintentional mitzvah.
Oh.
All right. Well, that's
nice. That's very nice to hear. I mean, we don't see things that way here. We just invite the people we love.
We just invite people who we think we're going to learn from and who will learn from us.
And it's no surprise, though, that we should have, I mean, look, straight white men are not everybody's favorite category at the moment.
Sure.
And but it is no surprise to me that all the men that we've had on that happen to be straight and white are totally sensitive, interesting, interested.
People.
Adam Pally, remember him?
Sure.
He ended up being a fabulous guest.
That's true.
Justin Kirk, we always
love. And see, that's another point of contention. We don't just have anybody on.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Just that, like, we know that these people are going to be this great when we
have
them.
They don't just show up, knock at the door.
No.
We're curating this for you.
Everyone's been fully vetted.
It's a curated collection.
Correct. And finally, CMDM gave us 5 stars. And this I love because it's just right to the point. I laughed so hard, I fell off the sofa.
Fabulous.
There you go, Rana.
I love it.
AskRanaCoffee.com. Don't forget it.
And this is, I think, we've got a couple more weeks left in June. And so don't forget, we're donating to Trevor Project on Patreon.
For sauna privileges, you can watch the entire Patreon episode. $5 gets you into the Carriage House. $10 lets you watch it. And also, we got our Pride tee on sale.
Yes, our fabulous
Pride
Icons tee is at podswag.com/AskRana.
Business is booming.
I have to say, there must be people that have joined us that are new based on our numbers, which oh my God, I forgot what I was going to tell you.
What?
This is funny, but I'll tell you in 1 second. Based on our numbers, which are climbing like crazy.
I mean, you can't keep us down.
We must have new people in the Carriage House all the time. And so what I have to tell people is if they don't understand what Patreon is, it's another show. We do a second show.
And by the way, it's not an abbreviated second show. It is an entire second show with Rana and myself.
So we're really putting out 2 shows a week. One is free feed. That's where the craziness happens. But then there's the Carriage House. We're another level of more intimate craziness.
Well,
happens.
And you know what? You want to know why, Rana? Because the
so
more intimate level of crazy is
Rana,
there's a code around it. Sort of like, listen, we're all here. We don't need you spreading.
Shh.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, you want to know? Hush. You have to go in and find out.
Well, there's certain things we talk about in the Carriage House that we really would only talk about with our closest friends.
That's right.
So we received some coverage in the Times of Israel.
We certainly did, Rana.
Now, Jordan Hoffman, I believe.
They rhymed us with Corona.
Now, so this has been under my skin for a couple of days because they said, I'm paraphrasing, but the podcast was, what fabulous new podcast rhymes with Corona? Okay.
Right.
So, of course, my name is Rana. The show is called Ask Rana with Rana and Brian.
Yeah.
Nothing
Nowhere
rhymes
does it
with
say
Corona.
Rona. Right.
No, but what I realized, it took me about 4 days, but what I realized was, if you read that with a Hebrew accent, with an Israeli accent,
okay.
It's Corona and Rona.
Rona.
Ask Rona with Rona and Brian And this, the disease is called Corona. So Ask Corona, what podcast rhymes with Corona? It's Ask Corona.
Corona. So are you more settled about it now?
Well, I still think it's crazy that that was in the English language newspaper.
Rana, that article did us a lot of good. So I would really watch it.
Well, we did burst to the top of the charts in Israel.
We burst to the top of the charts in Israel.
We truly did. So I think we made it to number 11 in Israel, something like
fabulous.
That.
Fabulous.
So we have to really tell our Israeli listeners, if they want to send us some letters, we're here to receive them. But
I just want to really, say.
And it was a very complimentary piece. But the headline was hysterical to me and drove me up the wall, of course. And then I realized that Rona and Corona were the same thing.
And I'm really proud, Rona, because you are Jewish.
Thank you. I'm
of Arab descent. I never thought I'd be charting in the Middle East.
And here we are.
I'm thrilled it happened.
Maybe we're going to plummet. Now that they know you're Syrian, we might plummet.
Well, I didn't tell them. Now you've destroyed our entire enterprise because I didn't tell them that.
Brian, we're a two-state solution, you and I. That's what we are.
You are right.
Yeah. Okay. I think our fabulous guest is here. Should we get to it?
Let's do it.
Okay. Attention Carriage House members, Rana here to tell you all about Anchor.fm. Anchor is the fabulous app that we use to create our podcast. And let me tell you something. You can use it to create a podcast of your own. It's totally free. They have these terrific creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, if you're that sort of person. I have a staff, excuse me. And now you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes, which is pretty fabulous. The possibilities are totally endless. So download the free Anchor app now or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Kiss, kiss. Wait a minute, Brian.
Rana?
I can't handle this. Because my problem with this is this guy's so cute.
Well, this guy's so cute and so great. And I think my personal wish is that we become friends after this and that maybe his marriage ends and we see where it goes. However,
well.
I think I spoke. You know, that's a lot up top.
I really think that you sort of top loaded the episode a little bit.
I did too, but see, now
the idea is you top loading is now we're talking. You know what? This wasn't supposed to be a one man pride parade. This episode,
excuse me, Rana, it's Pride Month, and this person happens to be a queer person entertainment who's so fabulous. He goes by all three names, Rana.
Well, we've already established the fact that during Pride Month, I'm not allowed to say anything to you.
Rana, let me tell you.
That you're allowed to say whatever you want.
I'm allowed to say anything I want during Pride Month, Brandon. Anything I want. I get to talk about three waves, four waves, five waves. And if she disagrees with anything, I tell her, you're of a narrow mind and you're a homophobe.
Yes, absolutely. Homophobe. Yes. Immediately.
That's my problem.
Immediately.
Yeah. I don't spend enough time interacting with the gay community. That's my LGBTQ+ community.
Yeah.
Well done.
Is that right?
Very, very good.
By the way, people should know Brandon is from Modern Love on Netflix. You should absolutely see it. Not to mention
Amazon.
Did I say Netflix? You're right. Amazon.
It's right. Modern Love, Amazon. I do work on a Netflix.
Big Mouth.
Well, yes. And this is one of the ways I know Brandon.
Sure.
Because everyone knows I'm the intellect sphinx on Big Mouth.
That's right.
Yeah, I did a little guest voice for Jen and Mac because Jen's right from Newton, Massachusetts.
People forget that Rana has worked in Hollywood.
And I'm good. It's not very glamorous doing that sort of thing. I sort of thought it'd be going into the Netflix offices and they would have the 20 valet car.
No.
Mrs. Glickman, can I take your car? On and on. And that really was not where I ended up.
Very different. You have to do everything yourself. You have to walk in, open the door yourself.
And it was hard.
You do the voices yourself.
Really Hollywood. Yeah. I mean, it was really deep Hollywood where this was like.
Sure.
We're very indie, you know.
But like, I love Jen and
you
Mac.
Had the first 5 minutes of Mommy Dearest in your brain, Rana, where you're just scrubbing your elbows, waiting for your car being taken to the studio.
Why else would I have agreed to it?
I know. I should have warned you.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
And then we love Nikki Kroll, of course, who's been on the show 1,000 times.
He's the best.
I love him. He's the best.
Who we adore. Let's get into this. We have some fabulous questions.
And
we should tell you what we're giving this month on our Patreon. We do a Patreon, a bonus show. You know, everyone has a Patreon.
Love that, yes.
And we're giving $2 from all of our Sauna Privileges memberships to the Trevor Project this month. So we are, much as we joke around, we're big supporters of Trevor Project and all the wonderful work that they're doing.
Beautiful.
Now, Brandon, we get a bunch of questions from listeners who are just seeking advice, help, direction. So they've written in. We're going to read some of these letters and then we're all going to weigh in on them.
We're not doctors. We're not therapists.
No.
We're not even really experts. We're just people that have a feeling about what's true and what isn't true in this world.
And I've watched a lot of Oprah, so I just feel like I'm qualified. You're qualified. I feel qualified.
Well, that is hours of school, basically.
That is. It was, I have all. It's a degree. It's a degree.
You've matriculated from Soul Search University, Soul Session University.
Yeah.
Super Soul
Sunday
University.
Super Soul Sunday University. Yes.
Are you Brandon Kyle or are you Brandon?
I'm Brandon. And then Kyle Goodman. Yeah. Just so y'all know that
you need
I'm fancy.
That for the. For, yeah. And also, was there already a Brandon Goodman?
I don't think there was.
Oh, you just, you. But Kyle's.
I immediately.
That is your middle name, Brandon. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Are you a song and dance man? Years old.
I think it's the right call.
Yeah, I was 20. I was like, the whole name. I want the whole name.
Yep.
Yeah. So. Fabulous.
Rana, would you like me to read the first one or would you like to?
Why don't you read it?
That's nice.
That's so sweet.
Rana's a really good ally.
I don't want to show.
Oh, wow.
Hello, Rana, Brian, and distinguished guest. That's you, Brandon.
Oh, I'm distinguished.
Very.
Love it.
I hope you're all faring well in this pandemic as well as these volatile political times. The world is changing fast, and that can take its toll if you're not coping with it right. Ron and Brian, I'm glad you have each other, even if it's from a safe distance. When the pandemic all started.
Oh my God, what a lead in.
No kidding.
Yeah. A lot of assumptions.
Truly.
Yeah. What's the question?
We're getting there. And by the way, I hope you have about three paragraphs of patience within
you, might
you because
light
these
a
letters
cigarette.
Are. Yeah, yeah. It's true.
They're letters.
Light a cigarette. These are thick letters.
You might want to go clean your bathroom and come back. When you get back, we'll get to the part where they say, should I leave my husband?
Yes.
Always yes.
If you're asking, yes.
When the pandemic all started, I reached out to the neighbors to see if they needed anything from us and if we could help in any way. One of our neighbors, let's call him Bob, is a single father of two young girls, 13 and 11 years old. Before lockdown, he asked me if we could have the girls over to our house for a movie night so he could get a break for a few hours. I agreed, thinking that sounded lovely. But my husband privately objected, stating that it's exactly what we're not supposed to be doing right now. The very next day, the governor declared the shelter-in-place ordinance. So I told Bob that it wouldn't be such a good idea right now to have the girls over, but that I would do my best to think of things to help entertain them. Since then, I've ordered them a brunch of art supplies. What is wrong with me? I miss brunch. My God. Since then, I've ordered them a bunch of art supplies.
Brunch on the brain.
That's right.
Yeah. Brunch on the brain.
Brunch on the brain.
That's a book.
It is. How to drink cheap Prosecco.
Yes.
Since then, how to use the
during
word bottomless.
During quarantine. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Since then, I've ordered them a bunch of art supplies, sticker books, puzzles, lent them our box set of Looney Tunes, since he said the girls enjoyed them. One day, about a month and a half ago, we saw an ambulance out front and saw Bob in the back getting treatment from the paramedics. Bob's friend, let's call him Jerry, was there with him. And as we came outside, Jerry explained that Bob was having trouble breathing and was going to the hospital, but that he, Jerry, was going to take the girls. We exchanged numbers so that he could keep us posted, but as we were doing so, Bob called Jerry over to the ambulance. When Jerry came back, he said, Bob wants to know if you can take the girls.
Oh, this Bob.
I was stunned and didn't know what to say.
Why doesn't he just put them up for adoption?
Honestly. He's faking heart attacks. He's doing...
I feel like a math question is coming. This feels like
it's a word problem.
The train leaves.
If Bob's train left Scranton at 2 p.m. and Jerry's Jerry's train left Providence at 1:45, where would they meet in Grand Central Station? Yeah. Okay.
Correct.
Yes.
Bob wants to know if you can take the girls. I was stunned. I didn't know what to say. I just blurted out, I'm sorry, but we can't do that. Jerry quickly said that was fine and that he'd take the girls, no problem. Bob ended up being okay, stating that it was a combination of a changing of blood pressure medication and probably a bit of an anxiety attack. However, since then, I've been feeling extremely guilty. Yeah, his plan is working. Things have chilled up with Bob and us, and when we do exchange greetings, it's pretty short, not the warm, bubbly reception we used to get. Yeah. I personally wouldn't mind loosening the restrictions and having the girls over for movies or an art project, but my husband is working from home right now and is also extremely paranoid about the virus. He's in a category of compromised immunity, so I have to respect that. Any advice you can give for extending an olive branch to Bob and giving him a little break from dad duties while at the same time keeping our boundaries for safety? I thought about inviting them to come along on one of our dog walks since the girls do love the dogs. Any other suggestions? Many thanks. Please don't use my name. Honey, she's created characters. This woman is ready to pitch this question.
Yeah, yeah.
She's got the whole story down.
She's writing a pilot.
Completely.
She's ready to go. Oh my God.
She is writing a pilot. She just needs the story. She just needs the interesting part. Jerry's my favorite part of the whole story. I want to know what Jerry's role is in all of this.
Jerry's a character.
Who is Jerry?
Who's Jerry?
Yeah.
Who's Jerry?
He's 7 out of 13, Jerry, on this show. what do you think, Brandon? BK. BKG.
BKG in his house. I think like send a care package or like, I don't know, drop off some muffins, like send them some DVDs of 90s classics like Shazam or something. Oh, sorry. People don't watch. What year is it? This question was so long.
We went back in time. We aged.
I feel like send them something they like. I love surprises. Alcohol. Send alcohol
to the children for the children.
Oh, you're right.
A little
right,
white
right.
claw, a little black right. cherry white claw.
They are basically selling children alcohol now with the white claw thing.
Yeah.
What are your boundaries pandemic wise, Brandon? Are you seeing a few people? Are you seeing nobody? Like what have you been doing?
I've been doing recently, like the last week or two, like social distancing with a few people who I know have been quarantining as hard as we have.
Yeah.
And so like we'll do like a backyard little hang or something like
but
that.
But they haven't been in your home.
No.
You're the only ones that have been in your home.
Well, yeah, my husband and my dog are the only ones that have been.
So here's the real question. Well, what about Bub? I mean, to coin the phrase of one of the best movies ever made. What about Bob, Dad? What about Bob? What about Bob? Why are we working so hard? She mentions at the end of the letter. Sorry, I said she. I don't actually know if it's a she. But
they
said at the end of the letter that the husband was immunocompromised.
Yeah.
The end of the letter was my husband. She's more worried about Bob and Bob's feeling than her husband, who is immunocompromised and has said very clearly, "I'm nervous and I don't want other people around."
I feel like Bob would understand that. No,
oh no, Bob doesn't understand anything.
I completely get it. My lease was up recently on my car, Brandon.
Okay.
Actually, there no, this was the last time I did this. But anytime I have a transaction like this, I'm always scared that if I don't do the thing, if I don't lease the car, if I don't da-da-da, that the other – and I'm better about it now, but I always just have guilt that the other person's not going to be upset with me. Even people who are selling me something, I just am like, oh God, I don't want them to be upset with me. I don't want them to be upset with me. When really this person's a perfect stranger. I get why this woman is more concerned about upsetting her neighbor than her immunocompromised husband.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is though. I wish I didn't have that. I don't know what it is.
So as someone who knows that and can see it from the outside, since it's not you who's in the middle of the situation, what would your advice be? From the outside, now that you understand how she feels, but you also understand that that's not exact. exactly how the world works. I was not expecting that.
Well, I didn't see it. What happened?
I have a massive jug of water.
Brandon just took a swig off of 90 ounces of blue water.
By the way, he it's drank 80 one. Of it's it in gallon. That question.
Yes. Finished it.
But Brian, I think, as someone okay. who can see, here's the thing. Bob, by the way, Bob is looking for free child. Bob's a single father. Bob's looking for free child care. Bob's got Jerry taking the kid. Bob from the ambulance is asking if the neighbors can take the kid. I mean, Bob doesn't mind asking. And I think Bob probably is a little annoyed that he doesn't respect their boundaries on COVID. Mm-hmm, but her mm-hmm. problem is overall, she feels bad for Bob and she wants Bob. She feels bad for these kids. I mean, bottom line, I think the idea of a walk is nice. If you want to bring them on a walk with the dog, perfectly nice. But I don't know whether your husband has an issue with them touching the dog. I don't know whether that's a thing. If your dog is a mop.
I think Brandon had a good idea, though, of this is what I would do. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's the thing you should.
Yeah.
But I would take over a gift and with a note absolving myself of any guilt I feel. In other words, just saying, I'm so sorry we haven't been able to take the girls. Here's the situation with the husband. We adore your girls.
She sent them art supplies. She gave them the Looney Tunes set. She's already done five things to keep. She is worried about these girls having activities during quarantine.
Okay.
And so she's already done it. She just keeps doing and doing it. And Bob won't let her off the hook.
So then
Bob won't say, don't worry about it.
I feel like she might need a little bit of therapy in the best way. I love therapy, mm-hmm. but it seems like this is more about her
yes.
than it is about Bob or Jerry. It's about her need to please other people and to get approval and validation from other people.
Correct.
And that's like, you need to read a book about, you know, self-love and not needing external validation.
And also knowing that, like, I think that is right on. And I think also knowing that when you feel guilty about something, it doesn't mean you've done anything wrong.
Fair.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's okay, I think, to like sit in that guilt and hope that it dissipates. But if she were to talk about this out loud, I think she would realize, like, yeah, what is he upset about? What could he possibly be upset about? Like,
yes,
she really hasn't done anything wrong. I understand the feeling.
Well,
but,
and it's about boundaries.
And so, because maybe she's uncomfortable with them.
She doesn't feel comfortable enforcing boundaries.
So she should just try this as a test case.
She also doesn't feel comfortable respecting boundaries. Look at her husband.
I know.
He's got one lung on the couch, and he's saying, maybe just for these 6 months, we don't let the neighbor children in.
What a way to get rid of someone, though.
Well, I mean, I'm ready to have sleepovers with them again, because Bob's a single father.
Rana, this could be a long game of like a gone girl situation.
She wants to be with Bob.
I think she wants to be with Bob. And I think probably.
What about Jerry? Where does that leave Jerry?
No, Jerry's in the mix too. Jerry's in the mix. Did you see Wild Things? It's basically like Kevin Bacon and Matt Dillon at the end.
No.
Getting together. I've spoiled it. Don't see
it. Really?
It's okay.
They are co-conspiring at the very end. And you realize that they're in on this together. And Nev Campbell with a really short red wig.
Nev Campbell, where is she? What's she?
Still living on that Patty of Five money. No, she did it. She did that. She did a ballet show.
The Company.
Didn't she do? Yeah.
Which I loved.
Yeah.
But that was years, Wanda. That was like 10 years ago, 12 years ago.
Well, I'm not her manager. I don't know what you're yelling at me for.
Fair enough.
What do you want me to do? Call her up and tell her I've got another job for her? All right. You know what? Respect your husband's boundaries. Create your own boundaries. If you want to be nice, there's nothing wrong with being nice. If you want to drop off muffins, if you want to send them art supplies, do that until the cows come home. But don't expect Bob, who has his own set of whatever's going on, to let you off the hook.
And don't play by his own set of whatever's going on.
The only person who can let you off the hook is you. You sound like actually a lovely person. I think it would be nice to take the girls on the dog walk. I think it would be nice to drop off something to eat. But the note from Bob where he says, I understand why your daughters can't play with my daughters, is never coming.
Never.
So also, don't Bob hold out is
in
for it.
Bob is in his trauma, no? Right? Like Bob might be in his trauma.
Sure. Might be. They had to call a paramedic because he had an anxiety attack.
Yes. I forgot that part. There was so much in the letter. I forgot the ambulance.
Bob was on a stretcher trying to guilt her into babysitting his daughters.
You're right.
They're driving him crazy. Yeah. Those daughters.
Bob needed a night off, so we went to the hospital.
Yeah.
That's who Bob is.
It was a scam. It was a scam. I don't know.
I'm sure every parent has wanted to check themselves into a hospital instead of having to make one more chicken nugget.
Just for a break.
That is true.
That is real.
Dear, let us know what happens with Bob. Dear Rana and Brian, back in the fall, I started a tryst with one of my roommates.
What's a tryst? I'm sorry.
A tryst is like a sexy. Yes, a hookup, basically.
Oh, okay.
But a secret. Like a secret. It's secret, though.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Like, okay. Yeah. I'm here for it. Okay, yeah. Cool.
It's a wonderful word, a tryst.
It is.
Yeah. A tryst. Yeah.
But you know what? It sounds a lot like cyst.
Or trisket. Like the correct.
Neither of which are terribly sexy.
Yeah.
Trisket's a pretty good cracker, though. Under the right circumstance.
It's also a lie.
Drunk.
Yeah.
It's a lie. Why is it a lie?
Because I think they try to make you feel like it's good for you.
Oh, no, they're very fattening Triscuits. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
It's a lie. Oh, no. I just saw Brian when he was 10 years old. He ate a whole box of Triscuits.
Please.
And someone said to him, those aren't just crackers.
I used to sneak Snackwells in my pockets in my room from our pantry along with Triscuits and just eat them in absolute isolation. So it was so much fun, Brandon. I wish we could have been friends back then.
Were the Triscuits a lie then, or were they the truth?
They weren't a lie yet.
They were the truth.
They became a lie.
They were the truth. Yeah.
They were the truth.
You discover the lie later. They were the truth.
Back in the fall, I started a tryst with one of my roommates, a secret romantic affair. And a tryst is always short-lived, I should say. A tryst doesn't last long. Okay. Yeah.
Sure.
So it's like a tussle. It's like a
tryst usually, maybe it's a couple of days, maybe it's a couple of weeks, but it's definitely not a year.
It always ends with a cigarette being like, we can't keep doing this.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's usually one of them is a skunk who's smoking the cigarette. Okay. Back in the fall, I started a tryst with one of my roommates. We enjoyed a great few weeks. Well, here's the answer in the second sentence. Went 20 minutes on the answer without reading the second sentence.
So sorry.
We enjoyed a great few weeks together hooking up and sneaking out for dates behind the backs of our other two roommates.
Fun. Wow.
Webster's Dictionary defines a tryst as, he's not my normal type, but the sex was great, and it was thrilling to have this secret fling under the nose of the other guys we live with. Now, I'll have you know, I looked up this writer, and so we're talking about an all-male roommate situation here. Okay.
And the tryst is with another male?
So another male, yes.
Okay.
Unfortunately, during a night out with some friends about 6 weeks into our dalliance, another great word, I had to leave early and he didn't return home. Instead, deciding to hook up with someone he met on Grindr. Ooh. This hurt quite a bit and he expressed regret, saying it was totally out of character for him. I can attest to this. He's a nerdy academic and not the Playboy type. Because I think everyone knows the only people that have tons of sex with strangers are the Playboy type.
Exactly.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah, for sure.
And that it's totally out of character to search for an app, download it, create a profile, and then start hooking up with people.
Guess what?
I don't know how it happened.
If you're a quiet, nerdy academic and you wish you were a Playboy, you download the app Grindr, and now you're a Playboy. Because it's at your fingertips.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure. That's how you solve that problem instead of having to go out and buy everybody a drink. Okay. Despite this, I wasn't able to overlook the betrayal and I cut things off.
Betrayal? Yeah,
that's a strong word.
It's strong. For a tryst? I don't know.
I'm with you.
I love you taking it for a spin now, huh, Brandon?
Trying that word out.
Yeah.
It feels good.
After a cold couple weeks in the apartment, we returned to the status quo as just roommates. Recently, I've come to regret cutting things off, especially spending time with him during lockdown and after noticing a pile of mementos from me on a bookshelf in his room. While drunk one night, I asked him if we wanted to hang out in my room after we finished a movie, and he politely turned me down, saying he was chatting with someone else.
Ooh.
If I didn't already blow my chance at rekindling this connection with him, how could I let him know that I still think about him that way and would be open to a redo?
Oh.
But is that a question?
Yeah, that's everything? I don't see the signing from it, but that's the, I wonder if I got that wrong. But anyway, that's, yeah, that's the end. Somehow I don't have the who signed.
Well, there you go. I agree with you, Rana. It's the end. I think that that's it.
Yes! Yeah! Wow. Very well done.
I think
very
it might well be. I think it might be. I don't, he knows that you, it sounds to me that if you're inviting him to your room after something, and then it wasn't just I'm chatting with someone and then he snuck in your room, or I'm chatting with someone and then a couple days later came in your room, or invited you to his. And I think whatever mementos are on his shelf, oh God, this sounds so brutal. I think that's just a coincidence that they're there.
Oops.
I mean,
oh my God.
Oh my God. Brandon, you go. Please take this heat off me.
Well, no, I was like, not to take it like back to the 90s, but it's like, he's just not that into you. And I feel like you have to, you know, I think you have to know your worth, right? And you want somebody who cares about you and is interested and is excited about you. You don't want to be chasing somebody who doesn't want you. Although I will say that's probably part of it. There's probably something interesting to this writer about somebody who's not that into them. The suffering of like, you know,
it's fun.
It's fun that I know this will never be, as opposed to getting yourself in a situation with somebody who does want to be with you, which oftentimes, especially as gay men, can be scarier.
Mm-hmm. Scarier to be with someone who wants to be with you.
Yeah.
The idea of real commitment and real, yes, and a real relationship and having everything that comes with that.
Yes. That can be a lot scarier than, yes, just like,
because also a
somebody,
real relationship is never as sexy as a, whatever,
as
this
a tryst,
yeah,
a tryst, and also a real relationship with someone you're already living with. I mean, that's a big deal.
So yes. I just looked, and that is exactly how he ended the letter. He didn't sign it; he just ended it with that, that question. I think you're both 100% correct here. Which is, look, how could you show him that you were interested? You did. You said to him, "You want to come to my room." Which, mm-hmm, meant that you were open to something more. Mm-hmm. And he told you he was chatting with somebody.
Oof. Brutal.
Yeah.
But in fairness to
because
him-
Because by the way, chatting is not seeing, is not dating. It's just like, I, right, can't because, like, I'm chatting.
I'm talking to somebody else right now.
That's, but like a hard texting. No.
In, yeah, fairness, that's a hard no. Well, it's both a hard and a soft no. Because in fairness to him, they are roommates. It had been some time had passed and they had reset.
That's true.
And so the other guy, it doesn't mean that the other guy didn't like you when you had the tryst and blah, 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 but he's keeping the relationship where it is.
And I think that this other guy-
It took
guy,
some time to get back there, I to think being roommates and have it be normal. And what he doesn't, yeah, want to do is start that up again. And also it seemed he probably thought you were a little bit possessive.
I was about to say, I think he overplayed his hand with feeling betrayed,
yeah,
over someone betrayed, he wasn't in a relationship with going on Grindr. I think-
Yeah, that's drama.
Yeah, I think that other guy was probably like, I don't know if this person used the word betrayed, but that's a big word for something that's a tryst.
Well, obviously, yes, there's a friendship there too, because they're roommates. So there's another level of, he thought it was going to be a progression. So sort of like when you're friends with someone and then one person has a crush on that person and then it progresses and you hope it'll become a relationship, mm-hmm, which, you know, happens quite often. And so because they already had the underlying dynamic of they live together, it's at, which by the way, is just an absolute disaster, but
yeah,
not to mention during quarantine and there's five guys in this house, oh, the God, smell, I can't imagine.
Jesus, that's awful.
That's rough.
Oof, that sounds
horrible.
Terrible.
Who cleans the bathroom? That's all I want to know.
I would never, smells. Oh God.
And they all probably wear, imagine, a different kind of deodorant. So all the different,
they're doing the body spray.
Full body spray.
Five guys, it's
no
body spray.
Oh
God.
And that couch probably smells like a bed that doesn't get made.
And if there's one animal in there, it basically gets dirtier by 5,000%, not only because it's that many guys.
And there's already five animals in there, which, you know, I think living with a man is living with a wild animal. It just is.
Yes.
And sometimes you can domesticate it and sometimes you can't. But the body, hair, everything. In any event, this guy felt betrayed. Did he feel betrayed? He felt hurt. He thought it was going somewhere and then it wasn't going there. And then it was over. And he still has residual feelings that he has to figure out.
And like, who doesn't understand that? I've had residual feelings.
Very
for
normal.
Very normal.
Unrequited love.
Yes. But your job in this moment is to try and figure out how to work past those feelings, not to see if there's a way back here, because there isn't.
There's no way back. Yeah. Save yourself some time.
He closed the door. Then he locked it.
The door is closed. Yeah. Sorry, that's a Housewives. That's a Housewives reference. I apologize.
We've been talking about that. We've been talking about Denise Richards. That's our new favorite thing to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Do we love her? I just love how, like, she's always, like, a little bit messy. Like, she's not quite put together all the way. Like, her glam is, like, slightly off always.
Can we talk about her insane husband?
Aaron.
So beautiful. And then he talks and you're like, wow, I can't support you. I can't support you.
He doesn't just talk. He threatens to crush your hand.
Yes.
I mean, speaking of messy though, I do enjoy her saying to him, the cameras are on us.
I love her. I really love her. Yeah.
Which is also, that just gives you a clue of like how out of it he has to be.
Absolutely.
Because anyone that has to be reminded that they're on the filming on a real, he is not a pro.
There's a full production crew. How do you forget? How do you forget?
He is how you forget. You take three Xanax and then you drink a tumbler of tequila. They love their Casamigos tumbler. Oh, yes. Reposado, he likes.
And then you start talking about NASA and how cancer might be good for you. He's
oh my God. He's nuts.
With
he's
a giant rock. Do you have the big rock here? He asked. That's what he wanted, the big ice cube.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Anyway. All right. So, our next question I'm going to read too, if that's okay with
of
you.
Of course it's okay.
This comes from a longtime listener of us. And he didn't give his name, but I know who he is because he wrote to us. And he's been a fan and a listener for a long time. And so I was hoping we would get to his question and hoping you might have a little insight into it because it sounds like he's sort of struggling with this a little bit.
Yes.
In light of... the recent climate in the country, but let's face it, the climate in the country always.
Can I raise my hand for a second, Rana?
Yeah.
I do just want to say.
What did I do wrong now?
You've done nothing wrong.
I did a few things wrong in the beginning.
Oh, earlier?
In the beginning,
I was just cutting.
Yeah, but you're 150, Rana. No one, like, you get a pass.
Wow.
I'm just kidding.
Are you just kidding?
Of course.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll be sure and leave a pallet of Triscuits on your doorstep and we'll see. And we'll see if they're still there by the end of the weekend.
I just meant that you are.
And then I'll say you look chubby and then I'll say, just kidding. I was just kidding.
Honestly,
everyone knows if you say you're just kidding, it doesn't count.
My stomach just fell to the floor. Rana, I only said that to indicate that, of course, you're a supportive person and, of course, you're an ally, but you're of a different time.
I'm just teasing you. Okay, so what were you going to say? What were you going to say about
white people? White people throwing good shade. I did not expect it. I really didn't. I'm so happy.
Rana and I are George and Martha from Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, at least in my fantasy.
We're Martha and Martha.
Yes, Martha.
Anyway, you raised your hand. Mr. Coffee, you raised your hand.
Oh, you know what? I'll say it after the question.
No, you say it now.
All I was going to say was that if you go to, obviously check out everything Brandon does, but I will say that your Instagram is actually a real wealth of knowledge in everything that's happening right now with defunding the police and Black Lives Matter and everything like that. And I think your message, especially about white people don't ask Black people, is so strong in there and is so clear that I think for anyone who's listening who might be white and who might have questions, a thing you could simply do is to scroll through Brandon's and then jump off from there.
Yeah,
that was all I was going to say.
Sure.
Dear Rana and Brian and Brandon, My question involves how to discuss race with white friends. Now, I happen to know that our letter writer is not white. He's black. Okay. My majority, well, he says it himself. You know, we got to read these whole questions before we start explaining them to
people. You're right.
No, not you. Me, because of what happened with the tryst before.
The tryst, yes.
Oh, right.
It's in the letter.
My majority of circle of friends are white, and many times I'm the only black person in a group or social gathering. I am usually happy to share my opinions on race or any subject, but recently with everything that is happening in America and Canada, I am constantly bombarded with questions. How do I feel about Gone with the Wind? The protests, the riots, George Floyd. Check out this Karen story. So Jimmy Fallon did blackface. What do you think about Aunt Jemima? I can't think of a polite, in all caps, way to say, yes, I know about racism. Stop messaging me. Can you please help? Lance from Montreal, longtime fan, and Arana.
Okay. So there are a couple things in that question. I'll start with the end, which is that I don't think you have to be polite. I think at this point in time, black people trying to make white people feel safe inside of these conversations is not a thing that we have to do. And I understand from the nature of how we're raised and trying to be polite and trying to also thrive in white spaces that we often feel like we have to be polite, but you do not. If you do want to, because these are your friends, so you're not trying to be disrespectful, I think you can simply say, and if you want to send it in a mass text or whatever, I don't have the emotional capacity to have these conversations, so please stop messaging me. I think there's no time for mincing words. There's no time to try and make people feel good. You are, as the black person, we are the victims, for lack of a better word here. But no, we are the victims in this situation, and we get to respond and react how we need to. So the first thing is just saying, I don't have the space to have that conversation. So please stop asking. And that's very clear. And if anyone gets mad at you, they're not a friend anyway, because anyone who is remotely conscious would understand if their black friend says, I can't do this right now, their response should be, oh my God, I am so sorry. You're right. Their response should be about taking care of you first and foremost. And then the other piece of it is, if you are the only black person in your white spaces, then what I would encourage you in this time is to expand who you surround yourself with, and finding the black people in your life, or finding relationships with more black people, because that is going to pour into your spirit. That's going to rejuvenate you, because, you know, if I'm in a space with another black person, we don't even have to speak about what's going on. We understand. And just knowing that that person understands without any explanation is very healing, because part of the insanity of what's happened is that we as black people feel insane, because we've been saying racism exists, white supremacy exists, and people have been like, oh, but like not as much anymore, right? And so now finally the consciousness is like, oh shit, it does exist. And it's great that that's happening, but it can still be triggering as black people, because you're like, yes, I've been telling you that the sky is blue for 401 years. I've been saying that to you. And so now that you're agreeing with me, it's like, good. Now go fix whatever shit you guys did and stop asking me about how to fix it or which way to fix it or what I think you should do. It's like, it's not on us to do that. So I think that for your personal mental health, finding some black people to lean on in this time and to share space with, or to FaceTime with or Zoom with, would be incredibly important. It's a long-winded answer, but I think that all those pieces hopefully make sense to them.
Sounded great to me.
Yeah, I think it's a fabulous answer. My only other piece to this is, if it sounds like a lot of his primary relationships in his close friends are white.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is tricky. For all of the reasons that you have described, one being that he doesn't maybe have as many people in his life that he can just relate to. Yeah. And just even take a time out and say, can you believe this? What's going on here? And can and to turn on his own and say, can you believe this text I got? Can you believe this one won't dress
up?
Crazy.
Somebody, yeah.
All yes. of that. Just somebody to commiserate with, but also somebody yes. who just understands what you're going through. And also somebody who may very well not want to talk about it either. Because I think there has to yeah. be space for that too. The sort of recharging or having a laugh or whatever it is. But
what shocks me about this group of friends, though, and I don't mean it critically, is that how do they not know this? I guess, like,
but
I know this. But
I think also,
like, how do they not know not to go to this person for every?
You'd be surprised, people, unless you say it. And I don't think there's malintent in it, but there are people who, in their desperation to kind of fix it and figure it out, and in their desperation of also feeling guilty.
What I was going to say,
I'm sure, especially if he's the only Black person, I would not doubt that they might have said something or done things in the past that were racially insensitive that maybe he just didn't address or feel like he needed to address. And I'm saying that talking from personal experience as well.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they're like coming to him trying to like fix this thing. And it's like, that's not actually the way to fix
but
it.
I think that there's also, we have to create a little bit of space for the fact that, I mean, it does sound like he inhabits mostly white spaces, as you were saying. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so this isn't something that maybe if this is a pretty homogeneous environment that we're talking about, that this isn't stuff that a lot of these people have thought about before. And that this is mm-hmm. a time where the world is saying, where people want to fall on the right side of something.
Yeah.
And so naturally they might come to the person that they know who they think is the expert on this, but just de facto by the fact that they are Black and have lived a Black experience in their life, mm-hmm. that they might actually be trying to understand that perspective. I won't leave it there because I think the real problem, I think that on its own is lovely. And if we weren't in such a heightened state, if you were sitting at a barbecue, I mean, the other way you can look at it is, how come they haven't asked you that question for the last 25 years?
Right.
But okay, fine, that mm-hmm. they're asking now. And that is something. But I think the thing that is getting lost, and I think this is real part of what you were addressing at the very beginning of the question, mm-hmm. is it's not Black people's job or it's really not anybody's job for somebody else to do that work for you. So even though it's coming from a genuine place of, can you help me understand this? I love you. I want to understand what this, and also I think Lance is fun and smart. And as he said, he has opinions on a million things. So he might be the guy that they go to for opinions on five other things too.
Yeah. But,
and so, so I'm not saying that these things are not intertwined. I just mean, they think, well, Lance is going to have a take on this. He's going to have a take on Uncle Ben's rice or this or
sure.
that.
Sure.
But what it doesn't take into account is the exhaustion that he has to feel fielding your emotions and helping you sift through it. And that is not his job. His job in this moment is to feel whatever he needs to feel and to tell everybody else, if you don't mind, I'm processing and I'm doing what I need to do to take care of myself. And if you want to read, I don't know what, White Fragility or James Baldwin or five other things, you could. But it's not my job to be a teacher.
Absolutely. It's not his job to be the teacher. And I think as friends, even if you want your Black friends' take on things, I think you have to understand that it's like if somebody stabbed me right now and you were like, hey, so like, well, like, what do you think about knives? And it's like, this is not the time to ask me about that. Like, I'm literally bleeding right now and I'm trying to take care of my heart and my soul.
Yes.
And so I think they're just, for white people, it's like having that perspective and being like, oh, this isn't just about a conversation that needs to happen or like what his take on it is. Like, my friend is literally in pain right now. And so the best thing that I can do is say, I love you. I'm here for you. And I got you. And I'm doing my work to figure this out. And the best thing as a Black person you can do when people are just, you know, messaging is not right now. And you don't have to explain further. Like, I have somebody, I think it's Yolanda Van Zandt, Super Soul Sunday, who says, like, let your no be a no. You don't need to explain your no. And I think that that is how we as Black people have to handle ourselves in these moments.
Yeah.
It's like, not right now. I don't need to tell you why not right now. I don't need to give you that information. It's just not right now.
And I have a feeling probably these are people that love him and will respect mm-hmm. that entirely. It's just absolutely. That they just need to be smacked on the nose a little bit and told absolutely. And told this isn't really what I'm doing right now.
Absolutely.
But have you received any, so as a person that has white friends, I mean, mm-hmm. What has been meaningful to you for people to in either a supportive way or a reaching out kind of a way, or what actually is meaningful and what doesn't sound tone deaf? Or because there's got to be people that are listening that are on the other side of this wondering, how do I tell my friend I love them? Obviously, you know, it's not enough just to think, just because we have friends, you know, I'm not racist. It's like, no, this is what the idea of being anti-racist as opposed to just not being racist in the everyday, everyday or whatever. How do you let someone know, I see you, I hear you, I am on your side in this, and I am here to help, but without it feeling like an assignment for the person that you love? Does that make sense?
I think that's part what you kind of worded it perfectly, which is basically it's taking yourself as the white person out of it, right? And it's simply saying to your Black friend, like, and not the Black person you knew in high school, because I'm getting a lot of that too, where people who I have no relationship with are reaching out and being like, I am so sorry. It's like, I don't want to hear from you. But to the person that we have relationships with, it's like, I love you. I love you. And this is fucking shitty. And I'm working on making it better. And I'm here if you want to talk. But at base, I just want you to know that I love you.
Yeah.
And it's very simple. And you don't, and you may get a response. You may not. Don't take it fucking personally. Like, it's a lot that's happening. But I think it's very short. It's very sweet. Don't send me a whole letter. Don't send me a whole,
because also I would say right now, especially, it is easier than ever to educate yourself on this stuff. Everyone has written lists of things you can do as a white person, things you can read, watch, donate to.
It's at your fingertips.
Where the march is. It is at your fingertips. So you don't really need to go in a text and say, what do you need or what should I be doing? I mean, you can arm yourself.
Yeah, I don't think you should say, what should I be doing? But I think it's important for people to know that you love them and that you are
absolutely.
And that you're thinking of them. And in a lot of ways, maybe this is a strange analogy, but everything that we're describing to me feels like the way people behave around grief.
Yeah.
And loss. People don't know how to behave around grief and loss. And the most important thing you can do is say, I see you and I love you and I'm right over here. But never expect either to be given an assignment. Well, can I make you a lasagna? Can I make you,
And also no one in that situation.
You drop off a lasagna.
And no one would ever ask you in that situation. No one would ever text you. The difference is no one ever text you, can you explain death to me?
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Rana, that's actually very brilliant. I think that's a beautiful way to look at it. It is grief. We are in mourning. And so if white people can treat it as such, you know, obviously there's part of it where they have to do their work. But in terms of your interaction with your Black friend or your Black colleague, you treat it like grief, which is that you're sensitive, you're short, you're brief, and it's just, I love you.
And I think you don't say nothing if you really are close with someone, because I think, I do think nothing feels like a lack of support.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. And so even if it's the tiniest little something, as you're suggesting, I will say one thing that's been fascinating about this moment, and I'm not going to express this totally clearly, but I find it maddening and I don't understand. I mean, it's very common, but this idea that people, so the friends that are contacting you from high school.
Yes.
They want to feel like, everybody wants to feel, this is a moment where everyone is uncomfortable and everyone should be uncomfortable because it's a moment of growth. But as humans, you know, water seeks its own level or whatever. Everybody wants to not feel uncomfortable. And so these people from high school that are reaching out to you, which in a way is hysterical to me if it wasn't so pathetic, but.
Right, but they're like really asking you to absolve them of any guilt.
Absolutely.
They really
that to me
they're not even necessarily going that far. They just want to feel that they did something.
Yes.
And so they just will do that. But when you do that, you don't think at all about how they're not thinking about how that affects you one way or the other.
Right.
They just want to know they did it. They want to be absolved.
They did something.
Exactly, as Brian was saying. And the other thing that's fascinating to me is these people that are sniping at people on a lower level. People that are pretty, meaning people that are pretty, I don't know, I was saying to Brian, people don't use the word woke anymore, I don't think, but people that that seem to be pretty liberal
plugged in.
And then you find those people cannibalizing each other on some level. And you think, why is your focus here? When you
because it's
little,
ego.
Tiny little problems, or they want to feel that they did something, but they don't know how to act on the grand scale.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the sort of energy that's all going to the wrong place.
Which I think if you don't know how to act on the grand scale, which there are plenty of books and articles to read about that, but I keep saying that in addition to the big things that need to happen, there's also the things in your community, right? So it's like, what's happening at your job? How many Black people work there? Are the Black people being promoted? Are you amplifying and elevating their voices? What's happening at your grocery store? It's like looking at your community and you start there. And honestly, that's what's more impactful to me as a friend, right? Is that not your text, it's that you are actually taking action somewhere, wherever you are, you're actually doing something. Because what I try to remind people is that, yes, the headlines and the hashtags, they do impact us because there is our mortality and our existence gets under a microscope and it tears us open. At the same time, George Floyd is not related to me. So it's not like this thing directly happened to me. So when you text me that you're sorry, it's like, what are you sorry for? Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
It's confusing and I don't know what
it's
you want
me to
ridiculous.
Say. It's also ridiculous.
Right.
Yeah.
So what you actually need to do is not necessarily, I mean, be sorry or whatever, but that's irrelevant. Like the actors who did the I Take Responsibility, it's like, I don't care about that. It's like, what are you going to do
get
about
active.
This thing?
Yeah.
Get active. I don't need you to be like, this is what I did and this is why.
Awful, I suppose if you got a call from the NAACP, you might consider being
sure,
in their
maybe,
video.
Yes.
But that
I mean,
whoever came up with that was the exact wrong way to do everything.
The wrong
no
way.
Kidding.
It's like, what is your action? What
down
are you going
to do? Down to the black
do?
And white framing or whatever.
Oh, with the music and Aaron terrible. Paul's hands and Stanley Tucci reading. It's just like, oh my God.
Pretty much a train wreck.
I know. And I was so enjoying Stanley Tucci's cocktail hours that he was doing on Instagram before that.
Oh.
Well.
I still call him a zaddy.
He is a zaddy.
He's in terrific shape, Stanley. Well, I hope that wasn't too much to ask for you to answer that question.
No.
But
I think that's
incredibly helpful. And I think also it must be a little weird to be Canadian in a strange way. Because same with the UK, it's just a different, you know, in America, racism is such a loud everyday problem that vibrates on such a high level and that is always, it's such a volatile thing. And because obviously we've just spent generations not really ever fixing the problem or making amends or doing right or whatever. And that we're still in this moment, but this is an exciting moment in terms of activism and hopefully really breaking institutions down and building them up again.
Yes, please.
But in
please.
A lot of these other countries, it's just not one of the wonderful things about America, even though it doesn't feel like we're living in that place right now, is freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, all of the things that aren't guaranteed rights in so many other countries, which is why this is often a battleground also. But I think in other places, you have to keep quieter. And I think that's really hard.
And I think in other places, what's also happening is that, from what I'm understanding from people who are educating me.
You need to assimilate,
Yes, from other countries, is that it feels like culturally the country was like, oh, this doesn't exist. And now with what's happening here, I think other places are like, it happens here too.
Right.
And I think we as Black people in Australia or in the UK or in Canada are also dealing with this.
Yes.
Y'all just said it was over. Right. And so I think as the world, we're finally like, oh, this thing is bigger than.
Yeah. There's a real international reckoning going on. It's pretty exciting.
And I don't know. We'll see. I am really hopeful though that this shifts a lot of things because I think this was a big, I don't know how you can wake up to something like this and then go back to, I'm sure there will be steps backward, but go all the way back. At least I'm hoping. We'll see.
I mean, we have to, that's why you just need people and allies who are committed and who make the choice to burn down the system and rebuild it because it is easy. And we are seeing it. We're seeing social media feeds go back to normal and people are like, oh, okay, I think we fixed it. And it's like, no, being conscious about continuing your action.
Right.
Being really conscious about like, oh no, this thing is a problem and it isn't fixed. And we have to, as white people, you have to make a choice to continue engaging.
Totally. Cause this was, we just got to the start line. Oh, basically. We just arrived at it.
Took us centuries and we just started. So it's not going to fix itself
Well, hopefully the momentum, I mean, we'll see this has been, honestly, will go down in the books as one of the strangest years of all time. But hopefully with who knows, poor Joe Biden is just, who knows what he's going to be. Never mind who's at the top of all of this, but hopefully there really is a tide that turns during the election and really turns in the local elections also. Because there really is that opportunity of it being an election year, that there really is a way to hold people's feet to the fire and then to insist on institutions changing. And the only way that happens absolutely on a local level, but it also happens with legislation and in the courts and that. So, I mean, even we were saying this week has been a really exciting week for the Supreme Court that nobody expected, but at some level, civility has to reign also, meaning that, that wonderful gay rights decision that was handed down this week. Misspeaking again.
Queer rights. Queer rights, yes. About not being fired because you're identified or that you are transgender.
Which was incredible. And and the woman who was on that case, Amy, I don't know if you ever heard her. Her letter was the most incredible, heartbreaking thing that she sent to her company when she said she was going to come back as a woman after the break. I mean, honestly, brings a tear to mind just thinking about it. And then with the Dreamers this week, too. So even our most conservative court recognizes that people have to be on some level. I mean, of course, there's a fear there's going to be a backlash with other decisions, but that people have to be treated fundamentally in a certain way. And that we need to adjust to society. And so hopefully that's really hopefully this is just the beginning of that on so many different levels. But you can both tell me after this what I shouldn't have said and what should be gone.
No, that was very, very well said.
But
very well said.
Well, I did want a little credit as your white friend.
Rana, you got it.
And I want to thank you both for taking the time to educate me since I just did the exact thing that the... no, that was Lance's question. It wasn't my question.
Well, yeah, thank you.
So we should do a giveaway.
Great. Granted, every week we do a giveaway to the person we think... I always get this wrong. The listener who we think deserves this prize the most. Okay, so Rana, what's the prize? And then we'll go through it.
It's just someone we have a feeling for.
Sure.
It doesn't have to be because they have the saddest situation or the whatever. But this week, so Brandon, this is really exciting. We were talking about this before you got here. Brian and I have launched our own proprietary brand of coffee.
Okay.
We have.
And it is, we've got two coffees. There is the Carriage House blend, and then there is Shades of Vanilla. And this is actually the very first week that it's on the market.
Okay.
So normally what we do is
Dow Jones tonight.
We get
see what happens.
Coffee futures. Coffee futures.
Yes.
We normally what we give away is, a La Mer lip balm or a Dash egg cooker or just something
like that. We gave away.
Okay. Yes.
Oh, we should give away a turtle to somebody. That's so funny. Or a hand soap or just something beautiful that we think when we interact with it on a daily basis, we think, yes, that lifted my mood a little bit.
So this week we're giving away the coffee.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
So who are our candidates this week?
Okay. Our candidates are the Lady Afraid. What about Bob?
What about Bob?
Our candidates are the woman from Montreal, the man from Montreal. I'm not sure.
Yes. Okay. Lance, the man from Montreal.
Lance, the man from Montreal. And what was the second question? I'm forgetting all of a sudden.
About the roommate that went, relationship that went south, the tryst.
So who should get this coffee? What's the feeling you're getting about who should get this coffee?
Lance from Montreal.
Rana, you're going to have to pay an international rate. I hate to tell you.
For Lance, I would gladly deliver the coffee personally.
Fabulous.
Yes.
He's fabulous. Yes. We do love Lance. Lance Lawrence. Lawrence is his full name.
And Brandon, you are at Brandon Kyle Goodman. Is that right?
At Brandon K. Good.
Got it.
On Instagram and Twitter, at Brandon
and
K.
And please follow it. Again, a wealth of information that I think is especially useful for white people, but I think anyone would love it.
Yes.
Now, what we normally do, and you don't have to stay for this if you don't want it, is we read our cliffhanger.
Well, I do have to run to another situation.
You go do your thing.
Yes, but thank you so
much. Oh my God, we had so much fun, Brandon. Thank you for coming on.
Yes.
And I hope you'll come visit us again in the carriage house. Well, you'll come to Marblehead when we're really in the carriage house.
Yes, after the pandemic, I'll come through.
Please.
Okay.
Well, Brandon had to run, Ronna. He's a Hollywood commodity.
He is a hot commodity, isn't
he? He is.
Cute. Did you notice he was wearing a wedding ring?
Yeah, I did, Ronna.
It looked handsome on him. I don't really like jewelry on men, but it looked handsome on him.
He looked great.
He's so cute.
What else, Ronna?
Ask Ronna with Ronna and...
Don't you even think of it. I will peel out of this place and I'll take Yavina with me.
If what happens with Trixie and Katya ever happens and I can't get Bob the drag queen, then I'm going to get Brandon to come be my co-host.
Do you understand that I'm going to have to get drunk right now?
Because I said I was replacing you with Bob the drag queen.
Yeah.
No, the idea is
it could be anybody. It's not specific to Bob the drag queen.
You're Katya in that scenario. If you left town on me.
Uh-huh.
If you just left me high and dry, I'd have to get somebody to fill in.
So now I'm being blackmailed, Ronna?
No, you left me. That's the point.
Because
I was driven on me.
Because I was driven to drink.
Okay. Let's read our cliffhanger.
Let's
you
do
read it. Now, this isn't much of a cliffhanger, but it is a question we get a lot.
We do get this one a lot. Dear Ronna, Brian, and guest, if applicable. Well, it isn't.
Yeah. No, because Brandon walked out on us.
He walked out on us. I'm 26.
Walk out the door. Yeah.
Da, 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 da.
Just turn around now.
Because you're not
welcome. You're not welcome anymore.
That's what you're doing to me, Ronna. That's basically that song is how you make me, is what you're doing to me when you say you're going to get a new co-host. I'm just
you know, I started the day in a terrible mood. And then I had a little bite of banana bread. And then we had a little fun with our guest. And now I'm in a much better mood.
Well, I'm not, Ronna. I'm actually in a much...
I know. What happened? All my energy got shifted onto you, it seems.
Yeah. But I didn't shift it.
What do you think? I put a spell on you?
How dare you, Ronna?
This is crazy. This got crazy.
Fine.
All right.
All I'm
this
saying
letter.
Is that there... Okay, fine. There's only one person who can be Brian, and that's someone named Brian, and that someone is me.
Capital Y.
Correct.
Yeah.
When I feel like it.
Only when you feel like it. And no one knows. I have a little bit of a sense of when that it is and when it isn't, but I can never be sure.
I think you do know, though. I do think you have a sense. And
I always think you're going to turn around with a highball glass and throw it at me across the room.
You know that's my dream. Not at you, but just to throw one is my dream.
I understand. Who wouldn't want it? I'm going to get you some of that prop glass, that candy glass.
I love that stuff.
So you can start throwing it around your room.
That stuff really shatters, too.
Yeah, and it's made of sugar, isn't it?
Yeah, so you just eat it right after. Yep.
Okay. Oh, that was a song. I should have saved that for Sauna Privileges. Okay.
That was Sauna Privileges. Okay.
Yeah.
Dear Ronna, Brian, and guest. Oh, we already did this. I'm 26 now, and I'm 26 and now live in Chicago, where I make a good living as a client development manager for a marketing firm. For the past 2 years, I lived on my own in a cute place in Andersonville, and I love it.
That's where the Swedish American Museum is.
Oh, really?
I've been there, yeah.
However, because of my job, I have to travel a bit, and I also spend a couple nights a week with the guy that I'm dating at his place. Between these two things, I've come to greatly appreciate my alone time at home, but I find that keeping it at my standard of clean has been eating up time I would rather be spending doing something else. I actually consider myself a clean person. Uh-huh. I do my laundry. I doubt it. I mean, I don't know. I do my laundry once a week, including bed linens. I actually enjoy doing dishes, and I wipe my stovetop down after every use. Well, that is good. After every use. Despite this, I still have to spend a good deal of time wiping. I'll say it. He wrote whipping. Oy. Or she wrote whipping. Despite this, I still have to spend a good deal of time whipping down surfaces, cleaning my bathroom, and sweeping my hardwood floors.
There are so many tools, programs.
It's inexcusable.
I mean, when computers first came out, spell check, that was all you would have. You could spell check everything. Sure. Then they had grammar check.
Then they had Clippy.
Yeah. Now the computer screams in your face if you use the wrong word.
Oh, it underlines it.
It underlines it.
Does everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
but still, here we are.
Here we are.
Okay. Yeah.
I decided to get over all my class anxiety and bring in a professional cleaner to come in and help out. My problem is I have no idea what to ask the cleaner to actually do, and I'm not even sure how often I should have them come. I would love some guidelines on what cleaning tasks to delegate and also how often I should have someone in. I would ideally be spending about $150 a month on this. A month? Are they just coming in? Okay.
I think we have our answer.
I know Rana has mentioned that a man's bathroom is inherently undercleaned, even if we think we cleaned it. And I would love to make my home a clean and inviting place that is generally, quote unquote, company ready. Any help would be greatly appreciated. Well, we will be answering that on patreon.com/askRana.
We had to cool our cliffhangers a little bit. They were getting...
Steamy.
We have another one we're going to do next week. Maybe we will, maybe we won't, which was you thought we got steamy. This got crazy. So
that's
it
fine.
May be too much, but
but this is a question. You're right that we do hear a lot. And so
we get it a lot.
One. Yeah.
Yeah, we do. All right.
Rana, I have one word for you.
Yeah.
AskRanaCoffee.com, because technically it all is together.
Yeah, I suppose that is. Yeah. AskRanaCoffee.com. Get your coffee. Let us know as soon as the coffee arrives, because they roast it that day, then they throw it in an envelope and they send it to you.
It was roasted that day. That's right.
Yeah. And you can either get the whole bean or they can grind it for you. Though people say real coffee people grind their own beans. That's what I'm hearing, because I'm part of the coffee community now.
Right.
But we're dying to know. We work so hard. We're dying to know what people think about this coffee, because we are loving it. So... keep the info coming.
Yep.
And just you can write to us at askrun@gmail.com and just put attention, Mr. Coffee.
And send in your reviews.
That's Brian.
Everything.
I said Brandon by accent.
I got to go, Ron. No, I got to go.
Hi, I'm Dr. Lori Watson and the co-host of Foreplay.
I'm your co-host, George Fowler, former firefighter, your couple's therapist who loves to talk about sex.
Woo, let's discuss everything about the best sexual techniques to building your emotional intimacy, which is really necessary for great sex.
We bring sound, concrete tools to reframe your relationship problems and learn how to fall in love again and feel desire.
Listen to Foreplay Radio on the iHeart app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.